Open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John. We're in week three. Open your Bibles, please. We're in week three of a series called This I Believe. And when we look at this series, this is foundational truth. This is just simply going through the Bible and saying, what does the Bible teach about God, about His Word, about what God wants us to do, about our condition? And so in way of an introduction this week, I want to think of three times that God makes an invitation to people. The first one is in Isaiah chapter 1. And God says this. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, they can be as white as snow. And so the first invitation, come now, let us reason together. Then in the book of Matthew, in the first few chapters of Matthew, we have Jesus looking at a couple of guys and saying, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then, the verse that Moses mentioned, Matthew chapter 11. All those, if you are weary and heavy burdened, come to me. Jesus says, come now. Come, those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And when you think about that, when you look at it in terms of what is God offering to you, the question I'd want to ask is, well, why do you go to church? Why do you want a relationship with Christ? There has to be some part of you that is saying, I want in my life purpose. I want in my life forgiveness. I want in my life just a sense that I am loved and I have a reason for being. And all of those, all three of those, they work together because here's God and Isaiah saying, doesn't matter what you've done. Come on. Come to me. Then you have Jesus saying, hey, you want to follow me? You want to walk with me? And you want to reach other people for Christ? Hey, come on, let's go. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I'll help you to become more than you ever thought you could be and to reach other people. And then the third one, because I really think that a lot of times life is like a roller coaster. What about people who are burned out? What about people who are discouraged? What about people going through difficulty? Jesus says to the broken, Jesus says to those who are growing and want to make a difference. Jesus says to those who are messed up. He keeps saying, come on. It's very interesting. The only people Jesus ever says go away to are people who want to be religious on the outside, but very far from God on the inside. Those are the only people that Jesus ever says go away to. Everyone else, Jesus says, come on, come on, come on. No matter what you've done, come to Jesus. If you want to make a difference in the world, come to Jesus. If you're discouraged and broken, what do? Come to Jesus. And that's why we need to know who God is. And this week, we're in This I Believe, I want to point this out. You're not alone. If you are like me before I knew Christ, and your life is just going downward, you need to hear that you're not alone. If you're trying to win the world to Christ, and it's like no matter who I talk to, it's like nobody really wants to listen. Or I invite people to church, and they just say, You're not alone. If you're broken, you're not alone. And so let me just run through some slides here. This week, we're going to focus on the Holy Spirit, and this is the big idea. So everything will point, Holy Spirit, have all of me. What we're dealing with is we're dealing with a lot of bad theology in this series. People who decide this is what God is like. No, He's not. People who decide this is what Jesus is like. No, He's not. People who say, well, what about the Holy Spirit? No, let's find out, what does the Bible say? And the question, and you can go to church and you'll have some guy, and if I was a pulpit pounder, I would do that. So I'll pretend. You need more of the Holy Spirit. You need more of the Holy Spirit. That's not the question. The question is not, do you have all the Holy Spirit? The question is, does the Holy Spirit have all of you? That's where we want to get down to the nitty-gritty of where we are in our relationship to Christ. So let's keep going. TIB, this I believe, number one. That's what TIB stands for. This I believe, the first week. This is the foundational one. There is one God who is infinitely perfect, existing eternally in three persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God existing in three distinct persons. Capable, one God capable of being everywhere. That's omnipresent. One God capable of knowing everything. That's omniscient. One God who is infinitely perfect and infinitely powerful. That's omnipotent. That's our God. Last week, we looked at Jesus Christ, and we serve a mighty Savior. Jesus Christ is the true God and the true man. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He died upon the cross, the just for the unjust, as a substitutionary sacrifice, and all who believe in him are justified on the ground of his, notice this, on the ground of his shed blood. He arose from the dead according to the scriptures. He's now at the right hand of majesty on high as our great high priest. He will come again to establish his kingdom, righteousness, and peace. That's Jesus. And this week, the Holy Spirit. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit is a divine person sent to indwell, guide, teach, empower the believer, and convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. You can't do the Christian life alone. You can't do it in your own strength. You need Christ living in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what do we want to say? Listen to this for a sec. What's up with God? I wrote this week, and I try to write things that make people think, and from some of the responses I got, people were thinking. But what's up with God? Listen to this. God is an old man sitting on a cloud. Jesus is some hippie white dude in a robe and sandals. The Holy Spirit is some kind of supernatural power that makes people do crazy things. Wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. How many ways can we be reminded that there are lots of wrong ways that we view God? I personally think the greatest portrayal of God was in the movie Bruce Almighty by Morgan Freeman. That's just my opinion. But even then, they didn't quite get it right. Because God is spirit. God the Father does not appear to people. The visible manifestation of God in the world is, was, always will be Jesus Christ. And so we have different views of God. The key thing, though, is to understand is that there is one God, infinitely perfect, and he's revealing himself to us. He's not hiding from us. I put down in my notes that while God the Father is spirit, while the Holy Spirit is spirit, Jesus was spirit, God always existing as three distinct persons, but 2,000 years ago, Jesus added to his deity flesh. In fact, in the Old Testament, we see that Jesus would temporarily appear in the human form as a man and walk with Adam. So when it says that God walked with Adam and Eve, who was it that walked with them? Jesus. When we see Moses in front of the burning bush, and God is speaking to Moses in the burning bush, who was it? Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. When we see Jacob wrestling with God from sunset to sunrise, who was Jacob wrestling with? Jesus. And the big one, and this is reaffirmed in John chapter 8, because John, this is what John says, when Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up upon his throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. In the Gospel of John, John says that guess who Isaiah saw sitting on the throne? Jesus. That's what he says. And so Jesus permanently added flesh to his deity by coming to earth as a newborn baby. Jesus is the God-man. He's perfect God. He's perfect man. He's the perfect sacrifice. But what happened after he ascended? What did he do? And so we get back to this one thing, and that is that it's not, do you have all of the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have all of you? And this is what we want to work through. Number one, here's point number one this morning. The Holy Spirit is the divine person sent to indwell. Anybody ever watch Star Wars? What a crazy question to ask. You can't compare the Holy Spirit to the Force. Okay? I don't know. Is it right to say, may the Holy Spirit be with you? It's not bad. But there's a huge difference between the Force in Star Wars and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he is a divine person. The Holy Spirit is a who, not a what. He is a divine person sent to indwell. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 14. You can look it up in your own Bible if the print's a little bit small. In fact, let me encourage you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 14. But notice what it says. Jesus is speaking, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What Jesus is saying is that God the Father has given his Son to walk upon the earth to be the sacrifice for our sin. But then after he ascends, after his resurrection, he will send another. The word helper, what translations? This is from the ESV. Does anybody have an NIV? What does yours say? And what are the different words that are used there? And he will give you another what? Counselor? Good one. Advocate? Thank you. Does anyone have comforter? What's interesting is this word, we try to figure out, well, what's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? And the King James, the writers of the King James, they use the word comforter. Now, we tend to, in our emotional Western worldview, we tend to think of the word comforter as, you know, pat me on the back, there, it'll be okay, have a blanket, sit by the fire with some hot chocolate. But that's not what they did. They took the words from Latin, com, meaning beside, and forte, which means to strengthen. And so if I was to say Moses, one of your fortes is playing the piano. That would be a compliment, right? I'd be saying one of your strengths is playing. So what they did is they took the words com forte to come alongside and strengthen, and they created the word comforter. The Holy Spirit is God in spiritual form, existing in the third person, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who comes alongside of you with the specific person in your spiritual life with the specific purpose of doing what? Strengthening you. You're not alone. When Jesus says the Father will give you another helper to be with you forever, that's why we talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's why we can say in 1 Corinthians that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is why we can say you're not alone. God is with you. That's the Holy Spirit, a divine person sent to indwell. Not only that, number two, he's sent to guide, teach, empower the believer. Now, someone's going to say to me, Mike, what's the difference between Old Testament Holy Spirit and New Testament Holy Spirit? Well, there's really not a lot of difference. You can see that the Spirit, even in Genesis chapter 1, the Holy Spirit, God has always existed as three distinct persons. In the beginning was God. God's Word was there, and the Spirit of God was there. God has always revealed himself as three distinct persons. When God says, let us create man in our image, the word us is the Hebrew plurality of three or more. It's not the singular. When God says, let me make, it's not the plural of two, let the two of us make. It is the Hebrew plural of three or more. Let us make man in our image. God, as three distinct persons, is saying, this is what we'll do. Now, when it comes to the Holy Spirit has always given, and you can write this down, power for salvation, power for holy living. How were people saved in the Old Testament? By faith, by grace through faith. And the Holy Spirit gave them power for salvation. Then, how did people live holy lives? In their own strength? No. The Holy Spirit has always given power for holy living. The third one, though, is the slight difference. In the Old Testament, you see the Holy Spirit coming upon people temporarily to do miraculous acts of God. Samson would be my favorite, even though he kind of failed. But what happened when the Spirit came upon Samson? Tough guy, strong guy, powerful guy. But when he disobeyed God, what happened to his strength? Spirit left him. In the New Testament, though, we see something completely different. We see at Pentecost not just power for salvation, not just power for holy living, but now the Spirit comes upon every true believer permanently. And this is where we get the idea of spiritual gifts. Every person in the body of Christ has a spiritual gift by which God is using you to serve the body. And so he guides, he teaches, he empowers the believer. Look at these verses. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. You know that the Holy Spirit is working in your life when suddenly it's like, I need to change. You know the Holy Spirit is working in your life when, you know what? I'm tired of living this messed up life I'm living. You know the Holy Spirit is working in your life when suddenly, after years of ignoring the Bible, suddenly it's like, I can't get enough. That's the Holy Spirit guiding you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, and I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but the idea there is that people who pray to the Holy Spirit, people who worship the Holy Spirit, aren't doing what God wants. All glory is to go to the Father. Even Jesus said, I did not come to glorify myself, I came to glorify the Father. And so he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. That's the Spirit of God. How do we have the Bible? The Bible is because the Holy Spirit came upon holy men of God and helped them put together exactly word for word what God wanted written down permanently. Notice Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, who's saying this? Jesus. So if the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, and they always come to mine, and I never, ever argue, I always ask questions. And one of the questions, depending on the conversation, I'll say, would you read Acts chapter 1, verse 8? And they have Bibles with them. Their Bible is a mistranslation, purposely changed in order to teach their doctrine. For example, they believe that Jesus was created by God. And so they changed John 1:1 from saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They changed it to say, and the Word was a God. And they have horrible understanding of Greek language when they explain to you, oh, that's what the Greek says. No, it doesn't. It says that Jesus was God, and that's why it says the Word became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us in verse 14. But back to the message. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I love to just hand them or ask them, you know, could you add, I've got this question. I've been waiting for you guys to come to my door. I am so glad you're here. See, they're taught that everybody hates them. They're taught, oh yeah, if the door gets slammed in your face, that's because you're right. That's because you're God's servant and people don't want to hear God's. No, well, so I'm really nice to them. And so you can imagine me on Monday mornings, and I'm still not out of my pajamas, and I'm wearing my San Jose Sharks or my doggy pajamas, and I've got my white V-neck, you know, undershirt on, and I haven't shaved, and I don't even know if my glasses are on straight, and you know, and I come to the door, and it's like, wow, you know, well, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon because I've been binge watching all morning, or doing something that I probably shouldn't be doing, but. But the whole thing is this. They come to the door, and it's like, oh, I'm so glad to see you.
What?
It's like, yeah, I've got this question. I've been dying to ask this question. Well, what question? Well, do you have a Bible? Well, yeah, we have our Bible. Could you turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8? And I said, could you read it for me? And they read it, you know, and there's pretty much says this. You will receive power when the, you know, and there's pretty much says this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit, and they don't really believe in the Holy Spirit, that God exists as the third person. But then it says this, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That's all I care about. I don't care what's in Jerusalem. That's all I care about. I don't care what they believe about Jesus, even though that's important. I don't believe what they believe about the Holy Spirit. What I'll say to them is, who's speaking here? And so, who's speaking here? Jesus. And I'll say, well, okay, I got this question. It says here that I'm supposed to be Jesus' witness. Whose witness are you? And they'll say, well, we're what? We're Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses. And I'll say, well, why aren't you Jesus' witness? Because Jesus is saying right here that's what Christians are supposed to be. True believers are supposed to be Jesus, and that's all I say. I don't argue. But what I want to do is just, that's just all I'm doing, just throwing seeds. And there's a million others. You can go to Revelation in the first chapter. It says the Lord God Almighty is the first and the last. And in the last chapter of Revelation, it says that Jesus is the first and the last. And I'll say, well, how can they both be the first? You know, there's so many you can do. But with this verse, because it's here in this week's message, there are groups that don't believe that God is God according to the Bible. And the Holy Spirit has given us, God has given us Himself in the form of His Spirit to indwell and empower you to be His witnesses. You don't have to have all the answers. That's why when I'm dealing with Mormons, or I'm dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, or I'm dealing with many of the cults and isms that exist in the world, I just simply ask questions. Could you explain this for me? Well, how come some people, and I love the some people, how come some people believe Jesus is God? Like I was talking to this person at church, and they gave me this verse. You can do little things. You don't have to know all the answers. But you should know that the Holy Spirit indwells you, and He wants to give you power against the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That is completely contradictory. If you go downtown, haven't seen them lately, but if you see those people with the big signs telling everybody they're going to hell and telling everybody they're sinners, they're really, it's like, guy, you're trying too hard. Stop it, please. Because whose job is it to convince the world of sin? Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love for one another. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus said that the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. But then verse 17 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. And the whole thing is what I am huge on personal responsibility. If you're a Christian, you need to take responsibility for your Christian life. Stop living like a non-Christian to be cool. It's not working. Stop thinking that by doing things that you know you shouldn't, you'll be a greater influence for Christ. It doesn't work. On the other hand, stop thinking that you're the one that's supposed to save people. You're the one that's supposed to make people guilty. It says here in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is the one that will convince the world of sin. Our job is to live like Christ, to model Christ, to love people, to help people, to serve people, to care for people, to make a difference. And our family life should look different. Our friendship should look different. We need to just be salt in the world. Notice these verses. And you're going to need to turn there because it's John 16:7-11. I put it all up on there. But nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage. This is Jesus. It's like, man, I wish Jesus was still here. Wouldn't it be great to go out for lattes with Jesus? Wouldn't it be great to have Jesus come to your book club I bet you he'd be really good at hot yoga. You know, imagine having Jesus come to your hot yoga class. He could levitate. How cool is that? But notice this. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Really? Really? Wow. I think I've been underappreciating the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm kind of always wishing, you know, that, boy, Jesus, if only you were here. Because as he says, if I do not go away, the helper, the one who comes alongside to strengthen the calm forte, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin. He will convict the world. I was walking around thinking I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And suddenly God hit me with a 2x4 and said, Mike, your world is going downward. And suddenly I wanted to hear someone tell me about Christ. I hated anything to do with church. And all of a sudden I wanted to read the Bible. I thought all Christians were hypocrites, and all of a sudden I wanted to find a church where maybe there were people who were followers the way Jesus said a follower should be. That was not any person. That was in November of 1979 at 11 o'clock at night, sitting in my room wondering what was going to happen with my life. It says here, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, we need to help each other and encourage each other, but the Holy Spirit is pretty much, God is pretty much capable of cleaning up lives. We just need to let him. And so the question is not, do you have all of the Holy Spirit? The question is, does the Holy Spirit have all of you? Because if you're not, if you don't care about sin, then the Holy Spirit doesn't have all of you. And if you're not seeking to become more like Christ and to live more for Christ, well, then the Holy Spirit doesn't have all of you. And if you keep hearing a voice saying, well, hey, maybe it's time to make some change, and you're not listening, well, then maybe the Holy Spirit doesn't have all of you. And that's where we want to get into the application. Here's how we're going to end this morning. How can the Holy Spirit have more of you? Is that a good question? How can the Holy Spirit have more of me? I've got three here. They start with the letters R, O, and L, but I didn't put them in that order because of the way I wanted. But you remember that term holy roller? Well, these three things spell the word R-O-L. So if you want to remember them, you can switch them around. But the first thing I want to say is this. Don't lie. I want to start with the L. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Stop it. Just stop. You can lie to your friends. You can lie to your family. You can even lie to yourself. But stop lying to God. Stop saying, I don't have a problem. I do a little bit of counseling. I'm not a great counselor. I love counseling teens. I love counseling men. I'm a terrible marriage counselor. Awful. Because I tend to look at one of them and say, why are you being so stupid? Just stop. And it usually doesn't win me. You know, and it's like, yeah, I really am. I am the worst marriage counselor in the world. Because you're not supposed to take sides. I take sides. Because sometimes it's pretty obvious. And it doesn't matter. It could be the man, it could be the woman. It doesn't matter. But I love to counsel, but here's the whole thing. Is you sit down with people and it's like, tell me your story. Well, what do you want to know? I said, well, just start talking. And listen, and I listen, and I'm trying to be a better listener. And I listen, and what ends up happening? I say, well, what do you think you should do to fix this? I don't know. Well, think a little bit longer. And what happens is people come to me and they want me to be the answer man, but I'm not the answer man. The Holy Spirit is the answer man. So if the person is not a believer, well, then I will talk to them about you need Christ, because you can't biblically counsel someone who doesn't have Christ as their Savior. All you're doing is cleaning them up on the outside. And maybe they'll have a little bit of a changed life for a little while, but apart from salvation, it's just you're just going to fall back into the same patterns. But if you are a believer and you have the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you that if we sit down and I listen to you long enough, that as you talk out loud what's going on in your life, you're probably going to say, well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I shouldn't have been addicted to this. And it's like, yeah, wow, that sounds like a plan to me. And that's the other thing about counseling is no matter what they suggest, if it's a positive thing, I'm saying go for it. It's like because change is incremental. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's just the key. And so don't lie to the Holy Spirit. If God is speaking to you, if you know, it's like I need to be more consistent in church attendance. I need to be more consistent in my prayer life. I need to be more consistent in reading the Bible. Just start, just do it. But don't deny and say, well, you know, the Bible's boring and I'm busy and... You know, I get a good sermon, well, maybe not this Sunday, but I get a good sermon at church, and I don't really need to read. Yes, you do. Stop lying. So look at this verse. In Acts chapter 5, this couple thought that they could sell property and look really important. And so Peter said to Ananias, this is Peter, Jesus' close friend, he says to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? So who are they lying to? The Holy Spirit. And to keep back for yourself. See, it didn't matter how much money they gave, but they acted as if they'd given a lot. It's like, oh, we're giving everything to God. Aren't we wonderful? Cue in lots of makeup and Jim and Tammy Faye Baker and, you know, aren't we wonderful? And every other television evangelist. Cue them all in because it's like, aren't we wonderful while we take money from people who don't have money? And that was the thing. After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? See, it wasn't how much they gave. It's that they pretended that they had done more. They were lying. Notice this. Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? But notice this. In the first part, why you lied to the Holy Spirit. But what's the verse line? Last line. You have not lied to man, but to who? To God. Right there, the Holy Spirit is God. But don't lie. Stop lying. If you know there's something in your life that's wrong, if you know there's something in your life that just needs to be tweaked, you stop lying and just take full responsibility for it and say, you know what? I'm gonna change this and just be incremental. Number two, don't replace. There's the R. Don't replace the Holy Spirit. I think if I could say... Which of these, I tried to decide which one of these was the most popular. So if we were to go on Family Feud, which one would be number one, which one would be number two? I think this one's big in our culture. Don't replace the Holy Spirit. Notice the verse. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. You have to understand that what he's saying here is not that it's wrong to have a glass of wine, but that it's replacement theology. That's what's happening here. I don't need the Holy Spirit when I've got a glass of wine to take the edge off. If you come home after a hard day and your first thought is not, I need to just spend some time with the Lord and I need to get alone with Jesus and I need to just spend some time with prayer. If the first thing is red or white, I don't care, just bring it now, then you've got a problem of replacing the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. The Holy Spirit gives peace. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. If you are not going to God, what did I put down in my notes here? Intimacy with God. If you're replacing intimacy with God with intimacy for another person, I can't stand to be alone, so I instantly start calling people. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, you may have a replacement problem. What about pornography? Well, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something. You may have a replacement problem. You may be seeking intimacy. You may be seeking satisfaction. And always remember, sin is the satisfying of a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. You need to identify. You need to say, you know what, lately I've been noticing? I've been replacing God with this. So the thing you need to do is to ask yourself, what legitimate need am I trying to fill? Well, I'm lonely. That's a legitimate need. I want intimacy. That's a legitimate need. I want respect. I want some measure of control in my life. Those are legitimate needs. But sin is the satisfying of a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. And you have to be careful you don't replace the Holy Spirit with something that's going to be a bad substitute. Insert the word saccharin. Saccharin was an artificial sweetener years ago until they found out it caused cancer. Eventually, replacing the Holy Spirit will cause spiritual cancer because it just, he's there. He's like, that's what he does. He's supposed to do things. One more. Obey the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 16, 17. Notice this. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Walking. The term walking in Scripture is this idea of doing what God says. Obey. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. It's like, why, you know, Mike, why is it that my life is in such spiritual turmoil? Well, let's start to examine things you're doing, things you're not doing. And sometimes what's happening is that you're not feeding your spiritual life enough. And so what happens is, it says here very simply, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Therefore, if you follow things of the Spirit, what will happen to those sinful desires? You'll start to get mastery over them. Do the right things. Show up at church on Sunday. Keep your commitments. Don't lie. You know, always tell the truth. Or, you know, always tell, at least don't lie. You know, just be a person of commitment and honor. All those things, when you do whatever God says is right, you make a powerful impact on the positive side. And so that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God is there to comfort, to come alongside you. You're never alone. You're not alone. But let's become holy rollers. R-O-L. Don't replace the Holy Spirit. What's the O stand for? Obey the Holy Spirit. And the L, don't lie. Stop lying. Stop lying to God. You know. You know some things you could do. I know you know. And God knows. That's what repentance is for. God already knows. Repentance is when you tell yourself, I need to change. Let's pray.